Hi, this is Ted and PK, and thanks for listening to this highlight from Faith Radio Mornings.
To learn more about our show or how you can help support us, log on to faithradionet.com.
Good to be alive. 6:42, Faith Radio Mornings, as you come to life here this morning and get your day started. We're talking with Dave Safransky right now. He's a financial planner with Edgewater Investments. That's out of the Cleveland, Ohio area. He joins us every couple weeks to help us with money matters. Good morning, Mr. Safransky.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for taking time again, as always, here. It's great to have you.
Good morning. And we're just kind of wondering, let's just go right into it this morning and talk about the iPhone 5 pre-orders topping 2 million. What do you think about that?
it's just a shockingly incredible number. Every time you think that they can't outdo themselves, they outdo themselves and consistently exceed expectations. And that's exactly the kind of company that you want to be part of, is somebody who is... they're never satisfied with what they have. They're always trying to make it better, and it's just never good enough for the engineers at Apple. And I love that about this company, whether it's the iPhone or the iPad, and they're coming out with a new iPad, or just their computers. They're never satisfied, and I love that about them. And I think they're probably going to sell more iPhone 5s than all iPhones combined.
Wow.
I think they're going to top that number. So it's going to be a great – I think it's going to be a great phone. I haven't seen one myself yet, but I will very shortly. And I just think it's going to be a great device to use. And really what they're doing is they're taking kind of the desktop out of your hands. You're not going to spend a lot of time at your desktop because we're going to be such a mobile society. We're already mobile. But this actually increases it even more. And so I think about the things that I used to do on my desktop. Gosh, I hardly turn that thing on anymore because I have my iPad, I have my iPhone. And now this iPad mini that's going to come out, I might never turn on a desktop again.
Yeah, or a laptop for that matter, too. I mean, the other ones are a lot more convenient and more mobile. So, yeah, that's interesting. You know, one of the controversies that's coming out with this that I saw is the power source. They've changed that now for the iPhone 5, right? Have you heard about that?
Yeah, that's...
a different plug.
Yeah.
Right. I want to thank them for doing that to me.
It just increases increases their revenue, so it's good for them.
Right, because I have a plug for my car.
Yeah.
I have plugs for my office. I have plugs for my house. I have a travel plug in my briefcase. So now all those are getting replaced. So thanks, Apple. Hey, they're not idiots. They're capitalists, right?
That's right.
Now, the story behind that plug, though, is that it is a faster, more efficient way. It's much higher speed. Not that we would necessarily be able to tell the difference in speed, but your computer will be able to tell the difference in speed, and that's what's important. And so they can do more on the device, more complicated app updates and things like that will take less time because of the speed of that connection. And, you know, this is what we call creative destruction, and that's an economics term where you invent something new and you take out something old, and that's what we've done. We've created a new plug that's going to help us supposedly be faster, more efficient, and it's going to cost us a little money.
Yeah, that's just how it works sometimes with evolving technology. Talking with Dave Safransky, financial planner with Edgewater Investments out of the Cleveland, Ohio area. One more point on this, and that is our producer Justin put up on the screen, iPhone 5 cult equals what recession? Now, it makes a good point, though, in that, you know, 2 million phone orders in less than 24 hours is how can people afford this?
Well, there are several ways. One, they upgrade, so they're not paying full price for the phone. Very few people pay full price because there's a huge carrier incentive to be on this phone because they get a data plan out of it. They get higher talk times out of it. So the carriers are making a lot of money. Now, if you had a 4S and you're trying to upgrade, you might have to pay full price to upgrade to this phone because they haven't recovered the subsidy that they gave you on the 4S yet. So there's a lot of ways people make money downstream, not only Apple, but all downstream people are making money from this. So it's an exciting device. And the more smartphone users that you get, the more revenue per customer that the carriers get because there's just more services One that you have to take, because if you buy an iPhone, you have to take a data plan. Whereas if you had just a regular clamshell phone or just a, I don't know anybody who has an old style phone anymore. But if you had one of those, you're going to have to subscribe to services automatically that you didn't have to before. So there's a lot of revenue in this thing all the way down the line.
I was just thinking back over the weekend to the very first computers that came out that were the orange and the red and the kind of turquoise, and they were big and but modular looking, and they were so space age.
Like that? Remember that sound?
Oh yeah, a little dial up action. We'll be right back.
Where did you find that sound?
Yeah. I know, somewhere in the archives. Yeah,
isn't that great?
There's a lot of people who don't know what that sound is. You might have to explain that to another generation.
Your radio's just fine. That's called the modem.
That's right.
You know, the other thing too is that the speed at which you can compute now, and Ted, you mentioned it with the laptop. Mm-hmm. I don't even travel with my laptop anymore because it. Now this is the society that we live in. It takes so long to turn on. Now it might take 3 minutes, right, to really boot up, but gosh, that's 3 minutes I'll never get back again. And with my iPad, I hit the button and it's on, and I love that about it. And I hit the button and it's off. So usually I can get away with one more email or one more transaction before the stewardess says, excuse me, sir, the door is closed. I'm already done. It's already put away. She didn't even see it. So I love the speed at which Apple computes at. And that's really something when you live in the world that we live in today, you want that kind of stuff. It's important, and they're meeting that need.
Yeah, time is money, right?
We're talking with Dave Zafransky. Yeah, and we're going to be back in just a moment. And Dave, let's talk about the oil prices and gas prices when we come back and get your take on that, too. Dave Zafransky, our guest this morning on Faith Radio Morning. We'll be right back.
Faith Radio Mornings continues. Now I'm Ted Ross with PK. We're talking with Dave Zafransky, our regular guest, who helps us he brings the clarity to us when it comes to money matters and whatever else is going on in the business world a bit. Dave is a financial planner with Edgewater Investments. We have links up at faithradionet.com for more information on his business and what he does.
Hey, Dave, we're talking about the iPhone 5, but let's take a switch over to oil prices and the up and down thing of the gas prices, and now the oil prices are dropping. Where does this go? Where does this impact us? I mean, it takes a while for it to really affect us, and then it seems by the time it does, it changes again, right?
Well, it's true. There doesn't seem to be a lot of sanity in the way oil prices are going, but I don't have really good news for us here because oil prices are going to go higher, especially as our economy builds into recovery, which is not going to probably happen this year, but I do believe that it will happen next year. But we have new competition for oil, and that is we've always had China, and China's a growing threat to our oil supply because they go out and they buy oil companies with our money, and then they take the oil that we would have gone after. But now we have Japan is looking for alternate sources of energy because most of their nuclear power plants are shut down. So they are going to need oil, coal, natural gas, all the things that we're really using right now to power our country. They're in competition with us. So I think as we move into recovery, I think that because we don't really have a coherent energy strategy here, we've taken a lot of the oil production in the Gulf offline. It just moved after the Gulf oil spill because the government, President Obama and the EPA stopped all deep water drilling in the Gulf. So those platforms moved. In fact, I know people in the oil industry, they had to pick up and move with the oil platforms because that's their job. So a lot of people left the Gulf and they're either offshore in another country or they moved to Houston. So we're kind of behind the ball a little bit with oil production. And unfortunately, that's how we power our country right now. We need oil. So we need to be drilling. And so consequently, oil prices are going higher. And the price of a gallon of gas is going to go higher. And it wouldn't surprise me to see just normal, regular gas, which is what most people use, to be right around 4, 4.15 in the middle Americas. And then if you go out on the West Coast, you could see $5.50, $6 a gallon. Because even when gas is cheaper where we live, it's still $5 a gallon out in Seattle and Northern California. And it wouldn't surprise me to see it that high.
Wow. Yeah. So buckle up, in other words, huh?
Sincerely buckle up. And this is a good time before it gets to that point. And I don't know that it is, but my sense is that when the economy was as bad as it was and as slow growing as it is, and oil's at $100 a barrel, what is the possibility when our economy starts moving along again and we really do start traveling? So you look at those metrics, and there's algorithms that we use to kind of, loosely develop a band of where prices could be, and those algorithms are all pointing higher. But this would be a good time to just kind of plan your days, start getting into what I call linear travel, where you don't drive all over the place. You're kind of setting up a route so that it's the least amount of travel distance. I know that it doesn't sound like a lot, like you could save a lot, but you don't need to save a lot at one time. You just need to save a little every time, and that all adds up to money in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really...
Let's do the planning now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, get organized and plan your routes and then use less gas, save money. That's good. Dave Safransky, our guest here at Faith Radio Mornings. As we wrap up, you always have that practical tip for us that helps us out. Do you have something for us today?
I do. I want people to continue to invest in good times and bad. I know we've had a good market recently, so people get a little over-exuberant and they want to put money into the market at a breakneck pace. But I don't want you to do that. I want you to be counterintuitive. I want you to take profits when the market is high, and I want you to buy when everybody's running away. Those are hard things to do, but I want you to do it. And the best way to do that, Ted, is to set up a savings plan where either to a mutual fund company, to whatever investment you choose, you're sending a set amount every month. So when the market's high, you're buying less. When the market's low, you're buying more. It's called dollar cost averaging, and it's a good way to kind of take the guesswork out of investing. But more importantly, it takes the emotion out of investing, because your number one enemy in investing is your own personal emotions. Because when things are really good, like, I got to chase this thing, I want to get after this thing, I'm going to sink money in. And when things are really bad, you think, gosh, I can't believe I bought that, I got to sell it right now. And you really want to do the exact opposite. And so dollar cost averaging takes that emotion out. And as long as you're investing over long periods of time, and you're putting in a reasonable amount of money, odds are you will probably make money long term. You just have to be consistent and keep that plan going. So you plan your work, you work your plan, and eventually that account will look very nice for you.
So a real quick question in connection with that. If stock seems to be high, maybe you're looking at some particular company, but you know it's just going to continue to improve. The whole thing of buy low, sell high.
Yes.
What do you think about that? If you think it's only going to get better, but it seems a little steep at the time.
Apple, right?
I hate to give advice on any one particular company, but that's really what I was thinking.
Sure. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
Hypothetically, any company.
Everybody has a different financial plan, because everybody you talk to is in a different place. They have different finances. They have different hopes, dreams, and goals. So it needs to be individualized. And I would never put all of my money in one thing. So even if I thought, even if I had a newspaper that was going to be published 2 years from now, and I had it right now because I had a time machine, well, if I had that, I probably would put all my money in one stock. But because I don't have that, I would never put all of my money in one thing. So you're going to be diversified. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you don't take some money, maybe a small percentage, and you put it in something like that. But you really have to decide that, do a little bit of planning. And I always encourage people, work with a professional. Whether or not you use them long-term or not isn't really that important, but maybe they could help you define a plan, define some goals financially, and then give you a range of investments that would be appropriate for those goals, those time frames. Because the longer the time you have, the more risk you can take, because you have time to recover from like a 2008. But then there's another factor in there where some people say, look, Dave, if you lose one nickel of my money, I'm going to find out where you live, and I'm going to smash all your windows.
Oh, no.
Well,
you don't want that.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Well, good advice, Dave. We always appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Time. Thanks for your insight. Dave Safransky, again, links up at faithradionet.com. Be blessed, sir.
Good deal. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Have a great day.